Thank thee, Father, that as children we may confess our dependence, that we may acknowledge, Lord, our need for thy hand for every step in life, body and soul. Father in heaven, we thank thee for our freedoms to be gathered, and Lord, we pray that as we continue in worship, thy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, may be upon us and with us as we consider together the life of the church and the church in her life. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gathering here. We pray, Lord, bless the Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church and all that she's called to be and do. And bless the church worldwide, that the gospel may go forth, that the truth of thy redeeming grace may be told. Lord, that as members of Christ, we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, in the great call to live out of the gospel for the sake of thy glory and for the sake of the world. So, Lord, as we open Scripture, Lord, attune our hearts. Lord, keep us from distraction and help us, Lord, to receive what is before us. And, Lord, we ask this for thy glory's sake. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture lesson tonight from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. A familiar passage. Last week, a good note, Pentecost. And concluding verses of Acts chapter 2. Reflect some of the fruit of Pentecost. Our reading begins at verse 40, which reflects the conclusion of the sermon that the Apostle Peter preached on Pentecost. At verse 40, we hear these words, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So far, Scripture reading, the word of the Lord. Confess that while the grass withers and the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 25. Confess in paragraph number 1 that the Catholic or universal church, which is invisible, consists of the whole number of the elect that have been or shall be gathered into one under Christ, the head thereof, and is the spouse, the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In the paragraph 5 of that same shortly after all those momentous testimonies from heaven above came the preaching of the Apostle Peter. And it was a sermon that was focused on Jesus Christ crucified. It was a sermon preached with conviction that the person of Christ who died and was raised from the dead and ascended into the throne room in heaven above. It was a sermon preached with a call to repentance and faith, preaching dignity, sincerity, but not hoopla. Our God is holy, and we must come before Him with reverence and fear. As the believers came together, it was the apostles' teaching, their doctrine, that served as the heart of the gathering. And the foundational content for the believer's spiritual growth and maturity was the Bible itself, God's revealed truth, which the apostles received and faithfully taught. And our text summarizes for us the impact of Pentecost on the church. This impact continues to live in every true church to this day. There is a coming together. Assembled flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the call of the Lord, His blessing, our response to the singing and the praying, and then the teaching concerning Christ, with the testimonies of Christ's humiliation. Written for us in the scriptures, the description of Christ's exaltation. We sit under the teaching of the sovereignty of God, His predetermined purposes. Peter urges his listeners in his sermon to be saved from the perverse generation that they are a part of. Well, things haven't changed too much, have they? All around us, there is a perverse generation. Some of what is accepted in our society at large is just treachery to God, just an abomination to the Lord. The gospel is a matter of life and death. We hope that some of the neighbors that are gathered behind us, so to speak, will come to know from this congregation that the gospel matter of life and death. The gospel demands a response of God's people. Also, if you hear the gospel, you must do something with it. So we need to see how we find ourselves in the testimony of our text this evening. The life of the covenant is to be amplified in worship. Believers come together, there is to be the desire to be refreshed in the truth, delivered once for all. We're not here as novel believers, but we're standing on the shoulders of those who've gone before us, all these generations, where the Word of God has gone forth. And who are we to be gathered but by God's sovereign grace? Gathered. together. The days will come forward soon to lift up prayers on behalf of the congregation. These are aspects of congregational life. The apostles have learned from their experience with Jesus that the prayers that we offer in the congregation are not simply the elder's prayer or the pastor's prayer, but the prayer of the body of believers. And when we come together in the various ministries of the church, we include in that ministry prayer. Prayer is always a priority in the church. In the early days of the church, there was a great life force, the life force of Christ. And that life force is to live amongst us to this day. In the early church, there were signs and wonders to confirm the reality of Christ's power. And we need to understand that those signs and wonders had a very distinct purpose. They were limited to the age of the apostles and given by God to establish His church. And with the passing of the apostolic age, we no longer need to depend on these signs and the wonders. But the life force of our Redeemer, that force must propel us forward, live together in our shortcomings, in our difficulties, in the society that we live in. But we go forward by God's grace, by His strength, as His bride, the bride of Christ. House to house, rich fellowship in the faith, gladness and simplicity marked their communion. There was a real giving to one another, a tremendous spirit of generosity. And our age is marked by self-serving. As a church, we must fight against that kind of spirit. I think of it this way. Hotel rooms often have a doorknob hanger that can be placed on the outside door when one wants to sleep late. It says, "Do not disturb." Well, that's a sign. A lot of people have hung on the doorknobs of their hearts. "Leave me alone," they say. "Leave me alone," they say to God and to everyone else, "and I will let you alone. Let me enjoy myself, and I'll let you enjoy yourself. Don't upset me, and I won't upset you. Don't make demands upon me, and I won't make demands upon you. Don't expect me to do anything, and I won't expect you to do anything." It's become almost a kind of a religion with people that want their privacy, so-called, to be respected, don't want to be deserved. Now, on the other side of that placard, it often reads, "Maid service, please make up the room." And what is implied that while the guests are out doing their thing, the room will be made nice and comfortable for when they come back. And this is what a lot of people want the church to do for their personal lives. What can the church give me? They don't want to be involved, but the church is supposed to fill their needs according to their fancy. And one of the dominant features in the broader church world now is the shuffling of the deck. People transfer to churches that they believe will meet their felt needs. But that's not what Jesus said. Not what Jesus did. He didn't say, "Do not disturb me." He didn't say, "Service, please." This is what He said: "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." The Son of Man came not